My prayer this morning is, Jesus, be glorified. Amen. That's my prayer this morning. I don't know why God does the things he does sometimes, but I believe the Holy Spirit has instructed me very strongly to... Normally, I'm in a preaching mode, but today I'm in a teaching mode, and I don't know exactly why, but I pray that someone, or maybe a few people, or maybe everyone will be blessed by what the Lord wants to speak into our hearts today. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 7, the Gospel of Luke 7. A very familiar story to most of us. And yet we really need to kind of dig underneath the surface of this story this morning, because it's going to touch hearts and lives. I truly believe it. Again, I'm in a teaching mode, so if you don't like being in a teaching mode, well, sorry. Here we go, Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. So Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down for supper. There, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was sitting for supper in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment and stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and beginning to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw him, he said to himself, "Ah, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman she really is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Title of the message this morning is The Greatest Love. I mean, since it's Valentine's Day, The Greatest Love. But there was another title that was moving around my spirit. Guess who's coming to dinner? Now, in order to grasp the offense that we're reading about here, we need to understand a few things about the customs of the Middle East of Jesus' day. Beginning in early childhood, little bitty girls were taught proper etiquette. And back then, young girls were warned by their mothers about what would happen to women who ignore the rules. Those type of women were the type of women that other women would shun. Those type of women weren't welcome in proper society. And any self-respecting men they disdain them. They had to hide during the day and do whatever work that those women did under the cover of night. And even if they decided they might want to get right with God, there really wasn't any avenue open to them at that time. Once a woman was marked as being loose, immoral, dirty, skanky, a sinner, then she was shunned. She was and always would be an outcast. Well, in our day, there are programs and social services to help women just like this. However, we've romanticized the background of these women who are down and out. You would have never find that kind of attitude surrounding immoral women of Jesus' day. Now, listen, think more along the lines of the disdain of celebrities like Lindsay Lohan or the Kardashians, the disdain that those women inspire from people today. Think about that. Today, we throw rocks via online character assassination like Facebook, Twitter, woo! Hateful blogs, somebody in their mom's basement. And ugly gossip columns. Oh, yeah. But back then in Jesus' day, they threw real, literal stones. Whew, ouch. Well, notice that we are given the name of the Pharisee who invited Jesus to dinner. His name was Simon. However, the name of the woman who barges into the dinner party goes unrecorded in the Bible. How about that? She's only known by her reputation, the immoral woman. Right? Yeah. Not only was this woman despised for her lifestyle, she evidently was not afraid of adding fuel to the fire. She was outrageous. She was audacious. She was bodacious. And the people there thought, the nerve. Look at her. The nerve. The gall. How dare this woman? Who does she think she is? You know, this was the very last person you'd expect or you'd want coming to a dinner party. She wasn't crashing just any dinner party. This was the party in the home of a religious leader, a holy man, a Pharisee. So here she comes, this picture of everything a woman should not be: rebellious, promiscuous, dirty, foolish, and quite possibly diseased. She threw herself down at the feet of Simon's guest. Wow. Why didn't she just wait for Jesus outside or try to catch him beforehand? She was audacious. Why wasn't she afraid of what would happen to her? Her brazenness didn't end there. No, the indignities just kept piling up at this dinner party. Out from under her soiled garments, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. Everybody present could easily figure out where she had gotten the money to buy it and for what purposes she previously used it. Right? Oh, yeah. But now she falls down behind Jesus. He's reclining. She falls down behind him. She falls at his feet. And this is while Simon, the disciples, and the guests are watching, and they are mortified, man. Oh. She pours out her precious perfume on Jesus' feet. Then she uncovered her head. Oh, that's another religious no-no. She takes down her long hair, and she used her hair as a towel to wipe Jesus' feet. The Bible says she wept so intensely that her tears made a bath for his dry, calloused feet. And then she kissed him. She kissed his feet over and over and over again. And he welcomed it. Jesus welcomed the kisses of a prostitute. She, the defiled one, was cleaning Jesus, the pure one. We have to ask ourselves, man, what was she thinking? Woo! Where did she get the courage to do such a thing? Clearly, this woman had come to the end of herself. Just like an addict hitting rock bottom. She had died to everything but her desperate desire for help. She ran to Christ. And he did not turn her away. If you don't get anything else I say, get this. Write it down if you need to. Where grace begins, pride ends. This scene offended those who witnessed it, the religious people. It offended them. It did not offend them because they were hyper-religious or prudish, even though they probably were. Grace, listen, today, grace offends lots of folks because it is offensive. Unlike any other kind of love there is, God's grace does not depend on our loveliness. It precedes loveliness. Well, we see grace mirrored in countless ways in our daily lives, right? And in our relationships. The gospel is the only place where we find this kind of amazing grace in its pure, unadulterated form. Jesus is its starting point. And we must never forget this is what got him crucified. Grace offends religious folk. So if you're religious today and I'm stepping on your toes, rest assured God will heal your feet by the end of this time. And Jesus leans down. Oh, man. And he says, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has made you whole." And the people sitting there went, "Wait, what? What?" In response to Jesus' words, Simon and his guests were blown away. "Who is this man that he can forgive sins? Come on now." Of course, at this point, Jesus wasn't even interested in answering their silly questions. Right then, he was binding himself to this woman at his feet. This woman who had been lost and now is found. I want you to notice that we have no record of her saying anything like, "Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I'm really sorry. Oh, I promise to live a reformed life, Jesus, from now on. I promise I'll clean the bathrooms at the temple. I'll go on the foreign missions field. No. Not a word. Not a word. There's no record of her saying anything at all. All we have a record of her doing is kissing his feet, washing them with her tears, and drying them with her hair. No promises to do better. No declarations to live a changed life. No resolutions signed. Just tears and kisses. And audacious love. And right now, you may be wondering whether Jesus forgave the woman because of something he saw in her. You may be wondering if her display of love is what produced her salvation rather than his outrageous grace. See, in anticipation of this kind of question, Luke 7:47 teaches that forgiveness wasn't the result of love, but rather the cause of it. I'll say that again. Forgiveness was not the result of her love, but rather the cause of it. It's what saves us too, thank God. We loved him because he first loved us. Although this whole episode was shocking to those in attendance, I'm guessing that Jesus' response to this woman doesn't offend us today that much. I don't think so. Possibly we feel sorry for that one, this immoral fallen woman because, you know, Jesus saves, or perhaps we're used to Jesus' compassion for sinners today. Maybe we think that. However, it is Christ's interaction with Simon the Pharisee that gives us all pause, I hope. Yeah, yes, indeed. There was more than just woman at that dinner party that needed to be saved. Amen? We don't know why Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to dinner at his house. We don't know why. We only know that Simon wasn't very welcoming when Jesus came, refusing to offer him the customary gesture of cleansing water, a kiss, or anointing oil. But like every other encounter Jesus had with the uninitiated, we know that Simon's life was about to be completely turned upside down. What happened at that dinner party? That dinner gathering. Oh. See, what happened there demolished everything that Simon thought he knew about God. He's a religious big shot. He's a muckety-muck in their religion. And Jesus blew him away. Simon assumed, of course, that, oh, if Jesus knew this woman, if he knew she was immoral, you know, he wouldn't let her near him. But Simon made an even more insidious assumption here that some of us make in church. I don't hear a lot of amens. See, some of us make this same insidious conclusion in our own hearts and minds sometimes. And here's what Simon thought. Simon thought, she's different from me. She's a sinner. And I'm not. Simon's problem was that he thought he didn't have a problem. Amen? And some of us feel the same way. What's that skin-haired preacher saying to me about me today, man? I don't have a problem. Come on, man. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Again, dancing on those toes just a little bit. God will heal those feet. Because God dances on my toes. And when the Lord dances on my toes, I got to dance on somewhere. I got to dance somewhere else. So. She's got a problem. She's a sinner. I don't have a problem. I ain't a sinner. Uh-uh. This is what we called Phariseeism. And it's alive in 2016 as well. The miracle is that Jesus had great love for the self-righteous zealot, just like he did for the lost immoral woman. Jesus loved him equally. That's the amazing part. Turn to Luke again. I should have told you to stay there. Luke chapter 7, please. Pick it up at verse 40. Jesus answered him. He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon said, teacher, say it. A creditor had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. When they had no money to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, well, I suppose he whom he forgives more. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Simon, you gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Those who sat at the supper with him began to say to themselves, oh, who is he who even forgive sins. He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Three sentences, one question, complete annihilation. Complete annihilation of religious attitudes. Neither, loved ones, neither debtor was able to repay the debt. Jesus is saying, Simon, you do not understand. What you don't understand is that right now, this immoral woman at my feet, she is more righteous than you are. Because she loves and you don't. You need, Simon, you need to learn from her. Things that make you go, hmm. And once Jesus had begun, he wouldn't stop until Simon was completely undone. The Lord proceeded point by point through all of Simon's breaches of hospitality. You gave me no water for my feet. You gave me no kiss, no greeting. You didn't anoint my head with oil. Simon hadn't been gracious with Jesus because Simon was enamored with his own self-righteousness. I wonder what would happen if Jesus walked through these doors sometimes. Loved ones, I gotta say, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're all just folks. We're all fallible. But there's nothing harder for us to wrap our brains around than the unconditional, unmerited, undeserved grace of God. We can't fathom it. As with Simon, God's love and grace upends our sense of fairness. And it offends our deepest instincts. Does mine sometimes, I got to admit it. We insist that our reality operate according to the predictable concept of reward and punishment. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to those who have done us harm. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Get him, God. Come on, let's be real. Let's get real. And that even those of us who have tasted this radical saving grace, we find it intuitively difficult not to put conditions on it when we try to communicate it to others. And even preachers are guilty of this sometimes. Yes, dear one, yes, we're saved by grace, but don't take it too far now. No, be careful. Keep it balanced. Listen, a wonderful minister by the name of Doug Wilson wrote this. I love this. And I quote, grace is wild. God's grace unsettles everything. God's grace overflows the banks. His grace ain't tame. In fact, unless we are making the devout religious people nervous, we are not preaching the grace of God as we ought. Woo! Praise God. Remember the prodigal son? Truth is, we all have a bit of the self-righteous older brother in us. Remember the older brother? He's the one who worked hard for years. Work. Worked hard. Never outwardly disrespected his daddy. But he was incensed. Man, he was mad. When his younger brother, this little wild man, comes back to the family. When the elder brother saw the father giving away part of the inheritance he thought he should have, his true intentions were revealed. Dad, come on. You welcome this whoremongering, decadent, dirty fool with a fatted calf, but you never once gave me even a goat to party with. Right? Yeah, that's what he said. See, the offense of this older brother at the grace his little brother received stranded him out in the cold away from the celebration. I hope I'm making a point. And so it is often with us. Storms may be raging all around us. Our foundations may be quaking and shaken, but we would rather perish than give up our rights. Really, it all comes down to control. I want to control this. Many of us feel like we've got to maintain control. Amen? It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Many of us feel like we've got to have control. Because after all, I got to keep everything in order. Because if I don't, things are going to go to hell in a handbasket. It's just going to be chaotic. Things will fall apart. The walls will come caving in. What a faithless and hypocritical way to live, though. I don't know about you, but I experience the struggle between control and grace almost daily. I really do. We're all in the same boat. You see, the grace of God turns our world upside down. And that grace bursts the bubbles of self-righteousness in religious hearts. You cannot save yourself from sin and a devil's hell. You cannot save yourself from sin or a devil's hell. Neither can you work or earn your way to heaven. None of us can. None of us can. You see, I'll say it again, grace begins where pride ends. I don't know how many times exactly, but I think it's about 100 times throughout the New Testament that the Bible uses the terms in Christ, in Him, in Jesus, or Jesus says, in me. Keep that in mind as I say this. This is a large room. Is everybody able to kind of see this little cardboard thingy here? It's a piece of cardboard with a bunch of crud on it. Just dirt, just markings and all kinds of mess. It's really dirty. I took it through my yard and I drew on it and colored it and threw paint on it. This card, dear ones, represented my life. Let's just use this. This card represented my life and all of the filth, all of the sin, all of the selfishness, all of the drug abuse, all of the alcoholism, all of the sexual debauchery. Yeah, I'm saying it in church. All of the cocaine addiction, all of the scars and the hurts and the filth, all of the hurts that I inflicted on the ones that I loved or who loved me, and all of the scars and the hurts that were inflicted on me. This was my life. It was a dirty mess. But all that changed in 1988 when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior in Dayton, Ohio. And now, loved ones, listen, because I am, let's say this Bible represents Jesus. And now, because Tony is in Christ, you can't see the filth anymore. And when Father God looks at Tony, oh man, he doesn't see my sins or filth. They're gone. He sees me in his Son, Jesus Christ, and his righteousness, not mine, his. As it is with all of us. Amen? Aren't you grateful to be part of the family of God? Oh, every one of us could tell a story or two. or 100. I may be going a little bit over, but don't worry. If the Baptist beat you to Bob Evans, it's okay. The good news. Here's the good news. Truly good news. Just like this dear woman at the dinner party and Simon and the prodigal son and his older brother, just like all these people that we've talked about, no matter what you've done, dear one, or how ashamed you may be, how ashamed you may feel today, nobody's here to judge you. No matter how terribly you may have sinned, Jesus loves you so much that he willingly went to the cross in order to bear the punishment that you and I deserve. He bore your sin and its punishment on that cross. He shed his precious blood to cleanse us and make us free. The blood of Jesus is the meeting place between God and men and women. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was making atonement for our sins. The cross and the resurrection that Christ offered for us, it offers you forgiveness today. The cross offers a whole new you, a whole new eternal existence in heaven forever, and a whole new life now. Again, I'm coming to a close. Again, hear me. God's grace begins where pride ends. This is a holy moment right now. I would ask that no one leave, please, unless you have a medical condition, you have to do whatever you have to do. But there's no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. None. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, no man, no woman comes to the Father except by me. Jesus says to us from the cross, I will save you. I'll forgive you no matter what you've done. I will change you. I will make you a new person. If you'll come to the cross by repentance and faith. Dear one, I'm talking to you now, whoever you may be. Come to the cross today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time, the Bible says. And let me tell you something. You may feel like, Tony, man, that's me you're talking about. This mess, all of this dirt and crud and filth, this mess, this confusion, this hurt, that's my life right now. That's right. Dear one, nobody here will judge you. Come to Jesus. I beg with you, don't waste another moment of your life on foolish things. But come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. And when you come to him with repentance, in faith, in that moment, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, and you are in Christ, and you are a new creation. Behold, all things are new, and all the old stuff is passed away. Please stand and we're going to pray. Thank you for your patience. I want to ask for every head to be bowed and every eye closed, please. This is a holy, holy moment. Today I'm going to ask you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you, if you are hurting today, if you have sinned and you feel it's so bad that you could never be forgiven, dear one, No. Jesus loves you. And all he says is, come. Just come. But those whom Jesus called, he called publicly. He said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you'll not acknowledge me before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father who is in heaven. I had to come to this point in my life, this holy moment. Pastor Randy had to come to this holy moment in his life, as most of us here had to. The Holy Spirit may be working on your heart today, and I believe he is with some of us. If you have sinned terribly, and you need forgiveness like this woman did in this story, or if you have a religious spirit that you need forgiven of, this self-righteous attitude, I want to pray for you as well. But if you're here today and you've blown it big time and you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to ask you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would please lift a hand. Tony, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Let's be honest. Come on. God sees the heart. Thank you. Those of you who have raised your hands, I'm going to ask you to please take a step of faith. And I want to pray with you right down front. Please understand, I would never embarrass you. I want to ask you to get out from where you're seated right now and join me right here at this bottom step. I want to pray with you personally. No strings attached. You're coming to Jesus. You're not coming to Tony. Come on, ladies. I want to ask you to come. As the band and the team begins to worship and sing, please join me. I want to pray with you right now. No strings attached. Those of you with a religious spirit too, yeah, I want you to come and pray. Don't be ashamed. Just come. Repent. Leave it before the Lord. Leave here victorious. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Jesus loved you. And if you were the only person on earth, he would have died on the cross for you and you alone. I want to ask you. ask you again to please come and join us up front. And again, anyone with a religious type spirit, you know that you've done it, because we all have. I have. I want you to come and pray down here and give it all to Jesus. Let go of it and say, Jesus, I don't want this. I'm sorry. Just take it. And I'm going to walk out of here and walk in victory. Those of you who raised your hands, please come. Please don't let this moment pass you by. I'm pleading with you.
To all us grace that taught my heart to fear and raise my fears, relieve.
as ministry continues to, I want to invite you to partner with Tony's ministry. You can take your seats for a few moments if you will. We'll dismiss here momentarily, but we want to take a love offering for Pastor Tony. As I said before, he used to be a pastor, and he had a regular salary as a pastor, and when he decided to become evangelist, that all went away. And as you might imagine, sometimes evangelism is feast or famine. And so we want to bless him with a generous offering today. I don't want to ask you to give any more than what you're supposed to give. Just ask the Lord, what would you have me to give? And he will give you whatever it is you need to do. He'll share with you. He'll speak to your heart. But I want to encourage you just to give generously and allow the Lord to speak to you as to how you might be able to bless him. And, excuse me. Sorry. Those of you who are ushering, would you come? And we just want to take a moment to receive an offering for him, to bless him. Wow, God is doing some amazing things today. You know, sometimes the amazing things that God does, we don't even see because it's done in our hearts. And I know that there were some things that Pastor Tony said today that really ministered to me, and I'm sure you're there as well. And I just want to encourage you to allow the Lord to continue to work in your lives with what seed has been planted in your heart today. What an incredible grace our God has. What an incredible love he has for us. So, and if you would like to receive ministry, maybe you didn't respond initially to the invitation, but you would like for Pastor Tony or myself to pray with you, you can feel free to step forward at the end of the service, and we would be happy to pray with you about anything. I know how my friend is, and he will be here as long as it takes to minister to every single person who has a need. So if you would like prayer this morning and you didn't respond yet, you can still respond and you can allow the ministry of the Lord to occur in your life this morning. I also want to make you aware of the fact that there's a table out there in the lobby that has several books that Tony has written. He is not selling those books. He's just giving them for a donation. So if you have something to give, give it. If you don't, take one anyway. There's some pens out there that you can take as a token, as a reminder to pray for him and his ministry. So you can stop by the table and see what's there as well. So I'm going to ask you to stand back up, if you will, and we're going to dismiss in prayer. And again, if you need ministry, if you want ministry, you can step forward and we'd be happy to do that for you. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this wonderful time we've had in your presence, how you've spoken to us so clearly, how you minister to our hearts through worship, and how you use this wonderful word that you imparted to Pastor Tony to touch our hearts and to challenge us and to encourage us. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst, God, and we pray that you would continue to do so as we prepare to leave this place. May we know that you never leave us. You never leave us and you will never forsake us. We have that promise. Wherever we go, Lord, we can go with your touch and your blessing and your presence. And so, Father, I just pray that the blessing of the Lord upon every single individual, upon every single home that's represented here. May you shine down your love upon us. Make your face to shine upon us, Lord God. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.